Okay, well, I have to say I was wrong because I was actually very certain that the Mayo people would be celebrating this morning and at the weekend after with their first All-Ireland title in 70 years, but it wasn't to be, beaten by a well-organised and motivated Tyrone team. Incredibly, Mayo have now lost 11 All-Ireland football finals since 1989, including replays. And also incredibly, Tyrone have come from a position of almost being forced to withdraw from this year's championship just a couple of weeks ago due to COVID to becoming All-Ireland a champion. So what did you make of the game if you're from Mayo? Has this been the most difficult defeat of all in recent years? And you still have hope that Sam will come back west sometime soon? We're joined on the line by the former Mayo manager and, of course, former Leitrim and Galway manager John O'Mahony, and by a good colleague of ours, Tyrone GA commentator Paddy Hunter. Good morning to you both. And thanks for joining us. John, first of all, you must be as disappointed as all the Mayo people living in this region are this morning.
Yes, it's another, I suppose, heartbreaking chapter in the Mayo pilgrimage, as we call it now, as you said there, 11 times over the last number of years. But look, at the end of the day, the laurels rest where they deserve to rest. And, yeah, you know, when you put on your, if you like, analyst cap, You need have no doubt about this. And in some ways, I suppose, the fact that it was, you know, a 5 points defeat, it's more decisive than maybe some of the heartache where we lost to Dublin and replays by a point and all of that. So, look, take your pick. We've been through it all. But the search goes on. And I suppose hindsight is a great thing in the sense that, you know, we all were delighted to see Mayo dethroning, if you like, the six-time All-Ireland champions in the semi-final. And that, to a certain extent, combined with the fact that Mayo's record against Tyrone has been quite good in championship. But, you know, that proved a false, if you like, analysis, because Tyrone were more battle-hardened. You know, when you look back now with their games in Cavan, Donegal, Monaghan and Kerry, compared to Sligo, Leitrim, a Galway team that collapsed in the second half, and I suppose a Dublin team that was in reverse or in decline. You know, it's easy to see how it could have happened. Now, that wasn't as easy on Friday, but there it is. And, you know, I think it's important that we congratulate the winning team.
As you said, there was no argument with it at all, John. The better team on the day won. I don't think anybody would argue with that. You were talking on national radio, I was listening to you yesterday, about ruthlessness and the importance of that.
Yes, I mean, look at all of the qualities that you associate with winners: ruthlessness, efficiency, being composed, telepathic understanding between the players. I mean, if you look at, you know, we talk and use these words like turnovers now. Well, that means that the ball is lost in possession by your team. And Tyrone were 3-1 ahead of Mayo on that. So, you know, the explanation of that is that understanding that I talked about, and the clinical way that they went about their game. I suppose the first half, as we saw, was a cagey affair. No one wanted to give way. No one wanted to make a mistake. But once the game got into the crunch moments in the second half, I suppose the opportunity for Mayo to make a real game of it finished probably, in retrospect, looking at it, with a missed penalty.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Tyrone unleashed Cathal McShane, and he did what he did in the semi-final. Tyrone changed their tactics by sending, you know, a longer ball into him. But it was brilliantly fashioned ball, you know. And Conor Myler, who actually, if you like, had marked Paddy Durkin all day and minded him so closely, sent a brilliant ball across that Cathal McShane put into the net. So, look, that's the reality of it. And I think, of course, Mayo will come back, and of course the supporters, who my heart goes out to, as well as the players, because they have, you know, we all know, I think the huge support that Mayo have in the last 10 years in particular is legendary at this stage, not just for All-Ireland finals, but right throughout the season. But again, they just have to take it up. And Mayo have to look at where they can make those improvements that are necessary to win, because that didn't happen yesterday, even though there were many very good displays. But the total package didn't compare in any way to what we got from Tyrone.
All right, okay. Well, Paddy, well done to you and all our Tyrone listeners this morning. And we associate Tyrone with success, but you know, again, we're reminding people it is only their fourth All-Ireland win, and they haven't won in 13 years. So a tremendous, tremendous performance yesterday.
Absolutely, and thanks very much, lads, for inviting me on as well. It's not easy for Mayo supporters. I don't, you know, having lost one in 2018, lost in 95, lost in 86, that was tough to take. I can't imagine what 11 defeats would be like. I just, you know, we went in 2018 not expecting to win. I think that was the reality against Dublin. There was no doubt that we hadn't the right squad. When you look at Mark Bradley leading the line for Tyrone, and then you compare that a couple of years later with the forward line we had, and that's no disrespect to Mark. He was put up there to do a job, but it was a mammoth task, you know. The lads have brought something very, very special to the county. There's no doubt about that. And what's been a very difficult time for us all. Now, there's no getting away from that.
Yeah, and it doesn't usually happen, Paddy, does it? You know, with someone as legendary as Mickey Hart standing down, instant success is never usually guaranteed at all. Far from it.
No, I suppose the fun thing is, when we're looking back at 13 years, and that's remarkable on its own, and you don't feel it 13 years. Talking to people yesterday at Healy Park, there was 10,000 people there. It was like a championship Sunday. You know, it was remarkable, the amount of people that came out to celebrate. And I think it was a release more than just the celebration. You know, this was normality. This was people out celebrating the success of a group of young lads who won an All-Ireland. But there was more to it, and you could feel that. And I would say Mayo would have been the same if they had a won, you know, and I'm thinking it that way. But in general terms, it was a massive occasion. It was 13 years. But it hasn't been easy. And I think the fact is that Brian and Fergal come in and no one expected anything from this group of players. They hadn't the same run as Mickey had at the end of November 2002 when he came in. He had a full National League campaign, full McKenna Cup campaign, Ulster Championship qualifiers, the whole lot. He had the whole gamut. These lads literally come in cold, had three National League games, got beat, hammered out of the park in Killarney, and then went straight into the Ulster Championship, and no one expected anything from them. And I think that's what makes it so special. The players believed, you know, and knowing them all personally, most of them anyway, and you mentioned a good club man of my own, Conor Myler there, you know, them lads all believed that they could do something this year. And I think they were probably the only ones, bar maybe people who watch them and know what goes on. And I think that's the key element to the people. You know, it's a surprise to a lot of people, but not maybe to them. And I think that's what makes it even better. Yeah. You know, they thought they were expecting themselves to do this.
Okay, you briefly mentioned, Paddy, the COVID issue. And, you know, there was suggestions and none more so maybe than some of the TV analysts at some stage that Tyrone may have pulled a fast one all those weeks ago.
You know
the players and you know the situation.
I know the reality of this. All of a sudden, COVID seemed to go out of the mix, you know, locally. But before the Ulster final, Tyrone were hit with five cases of COVID. It was in the camp. And all of a sudden, that five became 20. You know, and that's just a natural thing. It had nothing to do with going out. This is before the Ulster final. It had nothing to do with going out, celebrating or anything like that there. This was rife in Mid-Ulster. This was rife in parts of the county where these lads work day to day. They're not professional footballers. They're not professional athletes, albeit they are certainly in what they do. But if you look at the bigger picture in this part of the world at that time, it was very, very serious. There was an awful lot of transmission of COVID-19. Now, these lads did take it. Some of them were very bad. Some of them, indeed, didn't make the panel at the weekend because of COVID. There's lads in that squad who have maybe lost a stone in weight. Can you imagine a racehorse preparing to top notch for a Grand National and all of a sudden it's out of the picture, it's not training, and all of a sudden it loses weight? You know, you're immediately in a difficult situation. And the reality is that Tyrone were in a bad place. Now, there was a lot of talk about being cute and all this sort of thing, but it's a stark reality. Now, the pundits can all say all they want and have their us being cute and all that, but this is the stark reality. I was talking to one guy yesterday who's still not well, and I think the reality is now as well that if you look at the Tyrone squad, and while they beat Kerry convincingly, and while they beat Mayo, and I did say to our good colleague Sean McCaffrey in Northern Sound during the week, and I thought Tyrone would win by 5 points, so I wish I had put money in that, but I didn't. But it was, you know, telling him the same story that there's a lot of these lads who are not 100% fit yet.
Even
so. Lads that played on Saturday in the final are not 100%.
Okay, well, I think you
would have. That is a fact.
Yeah, you would have got good odds on Tyrone winning by 5 points ahead of the game for sure. John, you know, we asked this question, unfortunately, time and time and time again. I think you referred to it earlier about Mayo, the return of Mayo. It was great to see a novel pairing in the Ireland final, and, you know, we'd awfully win in a national title, Meath as well. We had the Sligo Miners winning in Connacht. So, from that point of view, it's good to see more teams being part of the mix.
That has been a very welcome development because, I mean, the debate on this morning after All-Ireland for the last 6 years is talking about the dominance of Dublin, the, you know, the financial resources, et cetera, that they have, and the possible division of them into three or four teams in Dublin. So this year has been, you know, fantastic in that sense. We had Offaly, as you say, winning the under 20. At provincial level, you had Sligo, which absolutely was thrilling in the, you know, from the fact of, we'll say, the stronger teams, the Tyrones or the Mayos or whoever, need the weaker teams to be competing as well. And I suppose after the senior the Connacht Championship this year, where was Sligo and Leitrim shipped very heavy defeats, it was good to see, you know, that something has been done about it here. And we had a Sligo team winning a minor title, which augurs well and sows the seed of ambition for the future. And that's happening around the country. Leinster. You know, seems to be, if Offaly continue their growth now, they will challenge Dublin because they had no challenge in the last number of years. Ulster, I suppose, has been always the exception, that it's the most difficult province to come out of. And, you know, when Paddy was saying there that some of these lads weren't 100% fit, God be tied when they are 100% fit, if they can give a performance like they did last Saturday. But, you know, there'll be many teams in Ulster, the Donegals and the Monaghans and the Armaghs possibly, who may feel that they'll be able to do something about them next year. So, yes, we're in a different place. We're in a more competitive place, whether it's that teams have come back towards, you know, the second tier, if you like, or, you know, it was Dublin and everybody else for a few years. Now it's Tyrone, the top of the tree, and everyone will want to knock them next year. And you know, despite, if you like, Mayo's, I suppose, what would have to say overall, you know, not a great performance, there will be teams that will be confident that they can close that gap against Tyrone in next year. And I think the GAA needs that. They need it in the provinces and they need it nationally. But it's you know, look at winning the first year. I think sometimes character comes out in teams when their backs are to the wall. Now, Tyrone's backs were to the wall after that massive 6-goal defeat, or 30-point defeat possibly, to Kerry earlier in the league. They obviously went in, Fergal Logan and Brian Doha went in with the objective of playing more attractive, attacking-type football. That day in Killarney or Tralee or wherever it was played, they suddenly realised that they had to get a balance right. They fixed that and won the All-Ireland as a result of it. And the COVID thing, you know, it shouldn't be thrown at Tyrone now in the sense that they had their issues with it. I suppose, you know, I had great admiration for the way they came down to the Ulster final. No one knew that there was three players from the starting team had got it at that stage. They didn't complain about it. They played the Ulster title and won it. You know, possibly the confusion afterwards was by the fact that there nobody knew how many had it and all that kind of thing. But I think that shouldn't be talked about at this stage. The better team won the All-Ireland.
Yeah, and there was very little talk about it yesterday,
We congratulate them in Mayo, and we, you know, have to lick our wounds, and I just hope that Mayo doesn't turn on itself now, and they will have to be, you know, they just weren't at the level they needed to be. They need to get that level, the unity of purpose. You know, what struck me about Tyrone and the aftermath and all the interviews and even last night as well is that there's no one claiming all the credit. Everyone was delegating to everybody else. It seems a very happy, unified group, and I think that's, having been lucky enough to be in that position myself a couple of times, I know what it is, and it's where everyone wants to get to, and the more teams that get to that, and hopefully from a Mayo perspective they can get to that,